When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. Mitsubishi launches an electric Eclipse Cross. Hyundai will try e-revs and an entry-level Audi EV. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you what sort of e-mobility vehicle the Rivian-backed also has leaked ahead of its October official reveal. And if you don't know that their spin-off company is called Also, then yes, that sentence made very little sense to you. On EV News China today, we talk about a rare Chinese recall, this one for Xiaomi, a $12,000 Model 3 competitor, which is perhaps better, and a big dog. I think you'll like it. Join me later tonight for the first of a two-part documentary series on the 10th anniversary of Dieselgate. Yes, this week is exactly 10 years to the week since Dieselgate erupted. And it all dates back to a very innocuous EPA document that was quietly published online 10 years ago this week. I'm marking the occasion because, well, really, Dirty Diesel did in many ways launch the EV revolution. Find out tonight in part one of Dieselgate 10, From Lies to Lithium. It'll be live for Patreons about 8 p.m. this evening, UK. All Patreon exclusives go into the free feed, the ad-supported free feed, after 7 days. I hate paywalls. I hate locking stuff away. This podcast is about spreading the word about electric vehicles, educating, you know, myself, and as I learn, hopefully passing on some information to you that's useful, saving you time. I don't want stuff to live on Patreon forever, but I do want to make patrons feel that they're getting something for the money that they're, you know, $5 or $10 a month, couple of posh coffees, basically, for all of the information, the content, the work that goes into those exclusives, those bonus shows, the daily news, EV News China now, and as we can bring more people into the podcast to do more video, to do more things like that. One of the benefits of Patreon is that you get the shows earlier than anybody else. But if you don't mind waiting, I mean, it's only 7 days, so save yourself some money if you want to wait for it for free. Let's get into it. Mitsubishi has revealed the second generation Eclipse Cross. It is a re-engineered Renault Scenic, giving the brand a battery electric model. Mitsubishi's returning to Europe. The Outlander was pretty successful here, but Mitsubishi are no more at the minute anyway, but they will be soon. Exterior changes from the Scenic include the Mitsubishi, what they call dynamic shield grille, a new streak-like daytime running light, and rear lamps that match the Scenic but linked by a new gloss black plastic panel. Inside, the car has different seats with diamond-shaped quilting while keeping the Scenic's infotainment screen. So it's, you know, they're on the platform, aren't they? It's like a Scenic, so it is a 12.3-inch infotainment touchscreen with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto mirroring. The Eclipse Cross will have, again, technically, it's like the Renault Scenic, 87 kilowatt-hour battery using NMC, nickel, manganese, cobalt chemistry. And it's got a great rating on it, 372 miles of WLTP range. That's almost 600 kilometers. Charging is 150 kilowatts peak and 22 kilowatts AC. That's really good for some European countries. A single electric motor that's rated at 215 horsepower, 160 kilowatts, is on the rear axle. Medium range variant could come, like Renault do the entry-level Scenic, with a 60 kilowatt hour battery. Production will be done by Renault at their plant in France, because Mitsubishi leaning into the Renault partnership alongside Nissan as well. Let's talk Hyundai and their i has been turned by the current EREV fad in China. At its annual CEO Investor Day, Hyundai Motor Group just told investors its first EREV will go on sale sometime maybe towards the end of 2027, maybe 2 years away. So EREV is extended range electric vehicle. And while the definition of that is not really, you know, it's not a dictionary definition, but it tends to mean an engine that is a generator. So like the old BMW i3 Rex, that typically the engine is not connected to the wheels, although some of them are, and that it always has a plug socket on so you can add electricity, clean green electrons, because they typically have large batteries. And typically it's 30 to 60 kilowatt hours. So typically really decent range. And that tends to be what we define now as an EREV, or you'll see it REEV, R-E-E-V, very unhelpfully. So they say they will use high-performance batteries and motors to deliver an EV-like experience, but with an engine. So what, if you're desperate to mimic an EV, just buy the EV! Anyway, it's all the rage in China over the last 8 to 9 months, and so maybe a year, actually. And so they get to advertise the big number, the big range, 12, 14, 1600 kilometers is the big number because you add liquids and electrons. So Hyundai clearly feel that there's a market there. They said that their EREVs should require smaller battery packs than their current EVs. The IONIQ 5 would have maybe a 40 kilowatt hour battery and a small a generator that emits dirty carbons, and why get the engine? But in 2 years' time, if this EREV fad has all died away and all of a sudden we've got next-generation batteries, because China will lead with this, by the way, maybe solid-state, semi-solid-state's already out there, and so you just don't need the engine because you can do 12, 14, 1600 kilometers with battery power, then why are you doing something with belts and pulleys and catalytic converters and emissions and all these things that mean that your ownership experience is going to be blighted by oil changes? Just buy the EV. A lot of companies in the West are now going, oh, okay, let's announce our EREV plan. I'm putting it out there now in 2025. By the time they arrive in 2-3 years' time, maybe China's moved on. Or maybe not. I mean, maybe it's all the rage. Maybe they're late to the party and then they have to sell Western consumers on the benefits of burning stuff. Let's wait and see. Let's move on. Audi will talk up an entry-level electric vehicle due for production next year, sitting beneath the Q4 e-tron. That's the word I'm looking for. I don't know why my brain suddenly failed me. The company is giving few details, but spy photographers have caught a test mule based on the Volkswagen ID.3 GTX. It is inside VW clothing, by the way. No real body changes on the outside, but different wheels and a totally camouflaged interior, which is being speculated is the new Audi A3. Audi CEO called the model an electric vehicle in the same class as the A3, but he stopped short of calling it the A3 e-tron. Maybe they call it the A2 e-tron. It'll use the MEB Plus platform. Audi calls the architecture the next evolutionary stage of the EV platform. Planned to offer 2 battery capacities, 4 power outputs. The current Audi A3 Sportback is about 4.3 metres long. The current ID.3 is about 4.3 metres long. You can see where we're going with this. All right, let's move on and talk about a Chinese startup targeting the European microcar market. A Chinese EV brand, which is starting up, is hoping to cash in on the craze with BYD, NIO, XPeng, and more moving into the European market, with European buyers more open to Chinese brands now. This player, Linktor Automotive, is targeting the small car market in Europe. Let me be clear. It's the quadricycle market. Linktor have 2 electric small cars for the city, the L6, the L7, 2.6 metres long, about 8.5 feet. So 2-door vehicles and classified as a quadricycle. That means top speed, 28 miles an hour for the L6, 56 miles an hour for the L7. As quadricycles get exempted from the European Union's import tariffs, ding, ding, no extra tariffs to pay. There's demand for microcars in some parts of Europe, but Linktor faces competition from Citroën, Renault, both sell small EVs. The L-Series will debut in November. They'll start with Italy. They want 20,000 sales a year. The L6 will do 75 miles, the L7 112 miles, or 180 kilometres of range. Interior features include a 10.25-inch touchscreen, and a 5-inch intelligent panel for functions like CarPlay and remote control. Tesla is next in the news, confirming that they are going to redesign their door handles. So this week, I told you earlier in the week on the podcast about the US NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. On Monday, they opened an official investigation into Tesla's door handles that open electronically. This probe targets the Model Ys from 2021 onwards. After a flood of complaints to the agency about the exterior door handles failing to open when somebody or something is trapped inside the vehicle. This, at its most serious, is if you put your baby inside the vehicle and the door closes and then you can't get into your vehicle, or an animal or a pet. If there's nobody in it and the car won't open, it's an inconvenience. And those inconveniences may not have been reported to the NHTSA, but they had enough to then launch an investigation. And by the look of it, Tesla want to head this one off completely early, not let the, you know, the bad news cycle run away with it. So what happens is there is a voltage sag, a lack of power from the 12-volt battery, which in some Teslas can be 16 volts. But either way, the low voltage system and that low voltage warning was not flagged to the driver before. So there's nothing on the dashboard saying the system is faulty. The Tesla design chief, Franz von Holzhausen, who's been with Tesla forever, very senior, often talks on behalf of the company in Mr. Musk's absence. I don't know the CEO. Let's not be too informal. Told Bloomberg that the company is now going to work on a new door release design that will make them easier to operate in a panic situation, describing Tesla's standard electronic button with a mechanical latch when the car loses power and designing a single lever, which makes perfect sense. So he said, and I quote, "We actually have a mechanical release that's basically right at the electronic one too, and we're combining the two," end quote. So yeah, obviously inside Teslas, if you know, you can pull the mechanical release, but a baby or an animal wouldn't be able to. The NHTSA is now evaluating whether Tesla's exterior door handles, which lack a manual backup on the outside, pose a safety risk, and if so, would need to be recalled, and that would be a big engineering refit to sort it out. I don't know what day I said it this week. I'm pretty sure I said it on a podcast this week because one of the CEOs of either one of the Volkswagen brands, I should look back before I start these digressions, shouldn't I, on my notes, said he really hates the door handles that disappear in. It's great for aero. It'll give you another couple of miles on aerodynamics, but really doesn't like flush door handles because door handles are a solved problem. So yeah, you'll eke out the tiniest bit of range by having them disappear, and it's better for aero. It's like wing mirrors. You know, you can put cameras on there and you get a bit more range, but can't we do that with making the vehicles lighter, better battery technology, more efficient motors, rather than chasing marginal gains, which automakers are always doing? They're never going to stop chasing, you know, range gains. But in these situations, we are over-engineering solutions for a solved problem. And so door handles have worked, like the door handle on your front door or your car. It just works. It's a solved problem. Let's move on and talk about Germany. Well, in August last month, I'm delighted to tell you some really good news from Germany, and that is EVs are now 30.6% of new passenger car registrations. BEVs were 19, plug-in hybrids 11.6. Year on year, for the month, combined EVs were 20.6, and BEVs at 14%. The Volkswagen ID3 was the best-selling BEV in August, 2,500 units almost, holding the number one spot for 3 months in a row. Volkswagen ID4, ID5 also doing really well. VW's ID7, Skoda Elroq, that's the top four. In the small affordable segment, Leap Motors T03 is doing well in Germany, and the Citroën EC3 posting a record last month. Tesla's Model Y is, of course, built in Germany, but it saw August volumes at about a third of where they have been a year ago. Careful on monthly data with Tesla. It can fluctuate up or down, but if you are comparing August to August, 2024 to 2025, that's a little more robust. So that's not great news for Tesla's sales there. They'll obviously be looking at what they can do to juice things a little bit in the run into the end of the year, even to the run into the end of the quarter. Let's take a little break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Onvo L90, Ontario wanting to change their EV tariffs in Canada, and some new good news around charging getting quicker in the hardware sector. Stick around, back in a moment. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. So if you want to skip the ads, I know they're a pain sometimes, or not, it's up to you. You can check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Individuals, organizations, businesses, supporting everything from $5 a month all the way up to $150 a month to put this podcast on the air. And you get your name in the Patreon show notes as well, so everyone can see from exec producer and above what kind of legend you are. Now, whenever I tell people what I do, sometimes they say, oh, I've read in the newspapers about the future of cars. It's hydrogen, isn't it? And I'd smile and I nod and I'm not up for an argument. But hydrogen in Europe is finally on its way out after the great experiment. Austria now ending its public hydrogen refueling network. OMV, which operated the country's four, said it will close them by the end of this month. Germany's cut the network too after early investment and carmaker support. Lots of people told me, like, if Germany's going for hydrogen, then, you know, you're completely wrong. Then Germany will lead it. Europe will follow. H2 Mobility built a public network that at its peak got up to 100 public charging stations. The problem is nobody used them. They have been pulling back. 22 stations closed in a couple of rounds of closures. 11 were taken offline in March, and now another 11 were scheduled to close. Public station counts for hydrogen across Europe rose in 2015 to 2019 period, and then continued to rise. However, then the fall started, and now it's at if not an all-time low, because it's heading back to zero. The network in Europe, I think it'll be about 172 hydrogen stations in total by the end of this year in Europe, and more scheduled to close. Demand for hydrogen refueling has completely is out of line with the projections that have been offered by hydrogen fans. Building a station can cost millions of euros. Nobody can use it because there's no cars out there. On a per kilometre basis, hydrogen is more expensive than just plugging your car in at home. And the cars are worse and don't go as far. And the stations can't refill more than, you know, a couple of cars in a short period of time, because then they have to have a little rest. Bless them, the hydrogen refueling stations. And I see online, I'm largely not on social media now. I know it's a problem. I've got to go back on social media. But when I was on Twitter, how far we go back, when I was on Twitter, there would be fights between the hydrogen people and the EV people. And I tried to say, hydrogen has a place in shipping, in aviation, in heavy duty, you know, transport. It's a great store of energy. Like combustion fuels are a great store of energy, just terrible to burn. And so it has its place. But let's not fight about passenger vehicles. It's a terrible idea for passenger vehicles. I like to charge my car at home, not go to some filling station that some other massive corporation dictates the price that I pay and I don't know till I get there. That's called petrol and diesel, and I'm delighted to not be under their thumb anymore. Okay, let's talk about the Onvo L90. This is a really good SUV. NIO's sub-brand Onvo. The chief, Fei Shen, said yesterday that pure electric vehicles are extending their lead over hybrids and range extenders after he shared the ranking comparison of a new comparison in China, a three-row, six-seat SUV test. There was 10 of them in the test, because China's got so many models to choose from that you can just pick 10 SUVs that have three rows and six seats and do a little comparison test. Local media outlet Dongchedi did this, and Shen added that if NIO's ES8 had participated, the top three would all be pure electric. The ES8's a really great vehicle as well. The evaluation covered multiple dimensions: the cabin space, braking distance, acceleration, energy, efficiency, handling, ride comfort, intelligent features, active safety. The Onvo L90, launched earlier this year, placed first in the performance tests and ranked it first in four categories, for cabin space, braking, and intelligent features. And then it came second in some others as well. The Li Auto i8 was the runner-up in performance. There were extended range and hybrid models in this top 10 shootout, but it was pure EVs that won the race in this one. Yeah, the L90 is a really, really interesting vehicle from Onvo. The whole sub-brand from Onvo is very interesting. That's the family bit of Neo, by the way. A bit like Firefly is the cheap bit. Neo makes some fabulous vehicles. They don't make any money at the minute, but they make some fabulous vehicles. And you can always keep up on what's happening in the China market with EV News China, our spin-off series. It's now daily after a trial earlier in the year. And it's something that I'm doing every day just as a passion project. I hope I can continue doing it for a long time. It's a lot of work, but I want to learn about the Chinese market. And I want to decode what's happening in the East for a global EV audience. And so if it's useful to you at all, have a listen. Like the Briefly show that I do, that is like the whole day's news in 4 minutes. And if not, just delete it. Just swipe, delete, get rid of it, and let me know. I don't like the China stuff. But if you do occasionally find it interesting, I'd like to know as well, because we do it weekdays. It's Monday to Friday, EV News China. You'll see it in your feed. And I'm loving putting it together, by the way. There is also a bonus show in your feed. And that's obviously, it's still exclusive to the Patreon fans at the moment, and it's all about the crisis in the Chinese EV industry. It all appears to be going well on the surface. No one really talks about this huge overcapacity problem they've got, and the fact that it was designed that way. It's designed to be Darwinism at its most extreme. This 20-year experiment in China will, at the end, when it all shakes out through all the pain, it's going to shake out to maybe 6 or 8 or 10 global Chinese automotive powerhouses. They realized they couldn't beat Detroit and Germany in combustion, but in 2005, when they put this plan together, they realized they could do it with EVs. And it's brutal. I will warn you, it's a little mini documentary that I made last night, and it's over 40 minutes long. So, hey, but if over the weekend you got any time to listen to that, again, I'd love your feedback. It really is I spent days writing it. It's a big look at the chaos under the skin of the Chinese EV industry. Okay, let's go to Canada. Ontario Premier Doug Ford wrote an open letter to Prime Minister Mark Carney on Wednesday saying Canada must keep its 100% tariff on Chinese EVs to secure a US trade deal and protect the auto sector. He wrote, "If the federal government removes its tariffs against Chinese-made EVs, you will contradict and undermine months of engagement with US officials and lawmakers about the need to protect and enhance our highly integrated cross-border automotive supply chains." Wow, what a sentence. Ford said the tariff protects 157,000 jobs and $46 billion invested in Ontario and the federal governments in EV and battery supply chain since the year 2020. There's a growing voice in Canada, by the way, because of the tariffs, the China retaliation on the canola industry, that a lot of people in Canada are going, you know what, I'd like to buy some cheap Chinese cars. Thanks. They're really safe. They pass all the European Euro NCAP 5-star ratings. And so if it's good enough for the really stringent Euro rules that Canada doesn't really fall in line with, then I'm sure the Chinese cars are safe enough for us and they're cheap. So let's buy some. There's a growing voice, a bit of a groundswell that I'm seeing online from people saying, you know, Canadians, man, I want to buy some Chinese cars. And so it's not black and white, that issue, is it? Now, Autel Energy is integrating Phoenix Contact's 1,000 amp liquid-cooled CCS2 cable into their Maxi Charger series. The Phoenix Contact CCS2 hardware uses a water glycol cooling loop, and that's for thermal stability during prolonged high charging current, and supports 800 amps continuous 1,000 amp boost. It includes temp sensors, insulation monitoring, IP67 rated. Autel's MaxiCharger DT1000 series uses modular power electronics for a common now architecture that scales all the way up to a very high power. The combined system aims to narrow the performance gap between CCS and megawatt charging. This is going to be the story, I predict. If not of 2026, maybe of 2026, 2027. And you can say I'm wrong in a couple of years' time. I think the story in Europe is going to be of some very, very fast, as in megawatt, passenger car charging. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Now, over here in the UK, the AA, Automobile Association, it's a recovery service. The AA predicts 1 in 3 driving tests will be taken for an automatic license next year, which is going to force fleets to buy more EVs. Last year, 26% of all driving tests were for an automatic license. That's up from 6% 10 years ago. The AA said that falling interest in learning to drive dick, as my American friends would say. A manual car, as we would say, is driven by electric vehicles. Because over here we have two licenses, and it used to be incredibly rare that someone would have an automatic license. And if you've got an automatic license and you get pulled over by the police and you're driving stick, you weren't trained to drive a manual car. So everyone just learned to drive a manual car. Nobody had an automatic license apart from, I don't know, maybe those that had some additional needs, some mobility needs, those that perhaps wanted, you know, the mobility of driving their own personal car, but, you know, perhaps for whatever reason, using both hands, both feet didn't suit. So then you have an automatic license because you were only licensed to drive an automatic car. Now, not only is it increasingly common, it's going to be a third next year. And the reason why? Because kids learning to drive now, you can take your test at 17, learn to drive at 17 here, saying, do you want to drive a manual car ever? Or will you have any of a drive EVs? They're like, just EV. Like, my kids are 3 and 7. They're never going to drive a combustion car apart from as a hobby to learn science and engineering. I don't know, but they're only going to drive EVs, aren't they? And so that's fascinating. Look at what, I don't know what gen this is. Gen A? What's a 17-year-old? Is it Gen Z? I don't know. But when they say, what license do you want? I just want an automatic license because I'm never going to drive anything but an EV. Isn't that really, really interesting? Got to look at these kind of things, haven't you, if you want an overview of the industry. Toyota is trying to nudge their owners of plug-in hybrids to plug in. Plug-in hybrids only provide any value if you actually plug the things in. Otherwise, you're carrying around a battery and it's really inefficient. Toyota's Research Institute have built a smartphone app called ChargeMinder that'll give you a little nudge to charge your plug-in hybrid. It sends a just-in-time charging reminder based on the time of day and data points pulled from the vehicle. It adds gamification like streaks, summaries and quizzes to reinforce the fact that you need to plug your car in. And finally, there's a Rivian-backed spin-off that's doing micromobility, and they're called Also, which is really frustrating because in print, it kind of works because you can capitalize the A, but also if you're doing a podcast and you say the word Also, it makes no blinking sense. So thanks a lot for that. But anyway, if you see it spelt on the page, capitalized A, it kind of makes sense to the eye. But when you're listening to me talk and I say Also, you're like, yes, what else? No, Also's the company name. Also, capital A, the spin-off is chaired by the Rivian founder and CEO, RJ Scaringe. If I ever meet RJ, RJ! Why'd you call it Also? It's terrible for podcasters. He is promising an announcement by October 22nd, but shock horror, some pictures have been now leaked too. This is a tech site, TheVerge.com. The Electrek reporter as well, Micah Toll, analysing a recent video frame by frame, recovering some images. These frames that were shock horror leaked show a compact pedal assist e-bike that would be maybe a utility vehicle with a cargo rack as well, with some integrated lighting. The revealed form resembles a hybrid compact go cycle, if that makes any sense to you. Also, capital A, also said it plans to launch its first flagship product early 2026. Hey, I'm telling you that micromobility is going to be huge in terms of how we get around with electric power in the future. That's your podcast for today. Also, I want to thank the premium partners of the show. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Also, Audi of Cincinnati East. Also, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. Also, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. And also, Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. But sadly, not yet. Also, they're welcome to sponsor. They probably won't now, will they? Thanks for listening. I'll see you on the next one. And remember, there's no such thing as a plugged-in, plug-in hybrid.